When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when they moved into her late Nona's home, they didn't just inherit a property, they inherited a permanent house guest.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have a real ghost story, share it with us. Leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802 or just write it in. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. You could be a premium subscriber if you wanted to. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststory or just go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon, how's it going?
Well, it's going really well here. Nothing exciting compared to you.
Yes. Yeah. So we've been talking about this for a couple weeks, the crazy weather we've been having. And like as of a week or two ago, we had this big lake because we talked about it has gone up 5 feet and it's a really big lake. That's how much rain we've had. And then last night we had 3 more inches. But what's crazy is that in the middle of the night, okay, my dog starts going crazy. I didn't know it was going to happen in the middle of the night. I thought it was going to happen today. That was just round one last night. So I didn't give Benji any medication. And then this freaking storm hit. And so you know now how you get the emergency alerts on your phone?
Right.
Starts beeping. Well, that happened last night, and it was like, oh, in fact, I sent it to your daughter in Spain because I'm like, Kate's awake because it was like so intense. National Weather Service, severe thunderstorm warning, destructive, all in caps, destructive 90 mile per hour winds, take shelter. It's like, holy shit. Flying debris may be deadly to those caught without shelter. And actually what ended up happening was it was 100 mile per hour winds last night.
That's just crazy.
So my best friend, James, he has some serious damage at his house, which is all he needed. The guy's had so much shit going down lately. Then my friend Cheryl had serious damage at her house last night. And my house, I just had some small branches down. across the street, Beverly. Yes. She has a huge branch down that pretty much covers her yard. Then when I took Benji for a walk this morning, poor guy's exhausted, by the way, but we took a walk around the neighborhood. There was some major damage last night in the neighborhood. And that's round one. That's going to happen again today.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to happen again. So they said probably about 3 inches of rain is what we got last night. And then they're saying heavy rain again today.
Wow.
I know. So it's just crazy. Like, we were in a drought. We are no longer in a drought. For now, anyway. Well, Kansas can dry out quite fast. But it's just crazy. And then it was like, this morning, there was a flash flood warning. It's like, this is extremely dangerous. Stay home if you don't need to be out. Because there was all these street floodings. And I know. So it's just been crazy.
Well, here it's 72 and sunny with southwest winds 5 to 7 miles an hour. So I'm not nearly so exciting as you when it comes to the weather.
I know, because this next round, they're already talking 80 plus mile an hour winds.
That is so dangerous.
Yeah. So I'll be ready for the next round. I'm already watching it. So I'm going to give Benj his medicine before and see if it helps. Because the poor guy, he is exhausted today. Just exhausted. Because that storm went on for about 5 hours.
Oh.
Yeah. It was really crazy. So we'll see. I'll keep you all posted on how we do. Yeah. Hopefully. Hopefully all of my trees stay standing.
And we'll just enjoy our 72 and sunny.
It's just nuts. So let's talk about a ghost story. And this one says, my husband's family is classic tight-knit Italian. When they all moved to Florida in 1968, his parents and grandparents built their houses facing each other across one huge yard. Years later, after Nona's husband passed, the old house became too much for her to handle, and she asked us to buy it so we could look after her things. We agreed, and soon after she passed away, we moved in, and that's when odd stuff began. One afternoon, I was chatting with my mom in the kitchen, and out of nowhere, the metal vent over the stove slammed open with a big bang. Mom said, "What on earth was that?" "I'll call you back," I said, marched over, slammed the vent shut. "Knock it off, Nona," I said. I phoned my husband at work, and he thought I'd lost it. A few days later, I was vacuuming. I'd lined up the heavy dining room chairs around the table while I cleaned the hallway. Suddenly, the chairs scraped across the floor, loud and deliberate. When I rushed back in, they were arranged exactly the way Nona had always liked them. That's still how we leave them. Things got even creepier. Our daughter was in high school and had a friend sleeping over. After the friend went home, her mom texted, "Hey, who's the older lady in the apron with the reddish hair? She walked into your daughter's room after the girls came out." There was no older lady in the house, only us. My daughter had never seen a photo of her great Nona, yet the description was perfect. Since then, cousins who stayed the night hear footsteps, whispers, the works, though we keep quiet, so we don't plant ideas. I like that. Then, even a cousin in California who's into the paranormal will message me unprompted about seeing Nona in our house. We've lived here 28 years now. Little things still happen. Sudden bangs, missing items that reappear in odd places. The vent clanging for no reason. I figure Nona's just reminding us that she's around, making sure we're taking care of her treasures just like we promised. Thanks for listening. I love your podcast. Hope this story makes it on the air. Debbie. I don't know who else it would be. It sounds like Nona to me.
Well, it's one of those weird ones because you say, okay, so why is Nona being such a pain? But I don't know that, as I look back at the things that are happening, that there's any
malicious
evil intent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at first I thought, why would she be terrorizing her own family and doing what she wanted them to do? But when I look at it, I'm like, but these things aren't necessarily that in and of themselves horribly scary, because it's things like, well, okay, a vent slammed or the chairs were rearranged. That wouldn't necessarily, while very kind of upsetting to us, the chairs being rearranged in themselves isn't necessarily evil or bad.
But if that's the way she liked him.
Right. Or somebody did see the an older lady in the house, right? There seems to be, you know, people hearing talking or, you know, people moving around the house. You know, and maybe it is that she just doesn't realize she's being so loud, too, you know, that she's moving around but not realizing she's actually making some commotion as it's going on.
I think she is wanting to make commotion. So you and I are not Italian, but our sister married into an Italian family. And he's first generation here. I mean, he is from Sicily.
Right.
So he's not first generation.
Yeah, and they Carlo will tell came. You they are not Italian. They're Sicilian.
Exactly.
But, you know.
But we've spent quite a bit of time with his family, and they're not quiet people. And, you know, they're all about family and being together. And I could see after Nona passes away, she still wants to be part of the family get-togethers. And when people are over, she wants to be part of it. And no, I don't like my chairs that way. I want my chairs this way. And so I could see her being quite outspoken and loud because that's probably how she was in life.
Yeah. You know, Debbie brought up something that's kind of interesting just as a thought for us to all think about when we're dealing with paranormal activity, and that is, how do you address it with family, friends, guests, people that are coming to the house, maybe staying with you for a little bit? Do you tell them ahead of time, or do you just see if they have any, you know, experiences? Because like she said, I don't really want to plant the idea that something could happen in there. So I think there's two ways to look at that, and I think they're both valid. One is what Debbie said, I don't want to put it in their head so then they're freaking out and worried and the whole time upset when maybe nothing will happen to them the whole time, right? But then on the other hand, would it be nice to prepare someone so they don't think they're, you know, losing their mind when something happens, but they're too afraid to say to you, your house is creepy. You know, you're being a nice host and everything. Why would you say something, you know, like that to your host? You know, you don't want to offend anybody either. It's weird. It's kind of like, you know, you could say, you know, we do sometimes have some kind of strange activity happen in the house, but you've kind of set them up if you've done that.
Yeah, because you know me, it's like I'd almost... If somebody told me that in advance, I know me, I would never sleep the whole night because I'd be waiting for something. So it'd almost be better for me not to know and then just see what happens.
But yeah, if you don't know and something happens, it kind of puts you in a weird predicament too. Like, well, I don't want to say anything to Carol, but you know, I was in her house and this creepy thing happened and I don't want her to think I'm crazy, you know. But it's weird.
Yeah, I don't know the best way to address that or if there's a best way.
And I think, like I said, I think Debbie's point is very valid. Why set somebody up for something just to flip them out all night? Like, you would be that way.
I would.
And then yet on the other hand, it'd be like, oh, you couldn't have mentioned this?
Yeah.
So I could be prepared or maybe stay somewhere else. It's interesting. I think it's kind of a dilemma that we face when we have a house that has this kind of activity going on in it.
And it sounds like some pretty heavy-duty activity going on.
Yeah.
But it just makes me think of that Italian mom who is kind of outspoken and kind of in charge. And that would be hard for her when she's passed on. I could see how she'd still want to be rearranging the chairs. Like, why you put them like that?
Yeah.
Especially since she wanted them to buy the house, so, you know, take care of her things.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good... Well, I'd love to hear more stories, Debbie. Because I got the feeling she could write in, like, 10 more pages.
I agree.
Because she's got more stories. So thank you very much for that. Let's go to a phone call.
Well, I am going to attempt to tell you another story. I've called in previously, and I tried to tell a story that's not extremely long and drawn out, but here it goes. Let me tell you a little bit about the history. My husband at the time was just my boyfriend, and his family home is on land that's been owned for 5 generations. The house originally was built in the 20s, and they added on since then. But before we got married, we lived in this home, and the older part was our bedroom. He was living there to help take care of his mother, and I moved in. And this house was huge. This is in the South, and there was always this feeling of being watched for me. I hated being alone in that house because it was so big, but so ominous feeling. There was just this, you know, I just felt as if though I was being watched and almost judged. And, you know, my husband had told me stories of, as a kid, that, you know, he had seen like a white kind of apparition come down the stairs. And again, this was a very old house, and the land itself, you know, was very, you know, long generation of Stocktons. So the first thing I ever saw was, you know, I saw orbs. And to be honest with you, I've had a lot of experiences. I don't know whether I'm sensitive or I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Of course, you know, his grandmother and his grandfather had died in the house, and I knew that. But one night, I was watching a movie, and he had gone downstairs to make us popcorn and all those things that go along with watching a movie. And I was sitting there, and our TV faced the door, and the door was cracked open. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I saw something walk by. And what I saw was like a gray wool pant type of fabric. And I thought, am I crazy? And I'm like, no, you know, I know that's what I saw. I know it wasn't him, because when you walked up the the stairs, my husband has a very heavy foot. There's no mistaking he's coming. So I knew it wasn't him. And he came upstairs probably about 15 minutes later. I didn't say anything, just because I was still kind of trying to wrap my mind around it. And the next morning, I was like, you know, I told him about the experience. I told him about the gray wool pants. He goes, hold on. And he goes into the other room, and he comes back. And he had gone to his grandfather's chest in the next room that held all his stuff. And there was these gray wool pants, the exact fabric, color, everything that I had seen the night before. And I just was like, oh my God, that is so weird. I had lived there. I had seen the trunk, but I never thought anything about it. I just thought it was a decorative item. I never realized that it held any of those items or anything like that. So that was a really cool confirmation that I saw what I saw, even though I knew it. It was really cool to have that evidence to back it up. So, anyways, and the other thing that I had seen there, or actually heard, I should say, was Christmas, the day after Christmas, I was putting my makeup on to go to work, and my husband was sleeping. His mother wasn't there. She'd gone to the store because I had gone down to make coffee. So I knew we were completely alone. All of a sudden, I heard a child giggling, and it, you know, a child laughing is a very distinctive sound. So I know that's what I heard. There was no TV on downstairs or in our bedroom. And of course, later I tell him about it, and he told me that there was actually a child that had passed away in the house years and years years ago. That's my story. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I'll probably call in with another one. Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
That was a really good story.
It was really good, yeah.
Wow. It made me think of, like, what if I have company and then somebody sees something like that, and then I go to that chest of our moms that I have in my living room mm-hmm. and be like, oh, is it this? Oh, that would creep me out.
Oh,
I don't want that to happen. I mean, it's cool when it happens to somebody else. Like, that confirmation for her was really cool. But it made me think about that cedar chest of our moms. Oh, it's like, was it something
and then,
like this?
You know, the child laughing thing got to me.
Mm-hmm.
That is so distinctive. You can't mistake that for, you know, anything else. I mean, that's what that is.
Oh, my God, yes.
And, you know, but it started with, apparently, before that she moved in, the husband had said he had seen an apparition, a white apparition coming down the stairs. And after she moved in, it was orbs mm-hmm. she was seeing. So there's, you know, this kind of, you know, activity that you can visualize, you can see. She sees it in an orb form. It presented to him as more of an apparition. He didn't say whether he felt like he could see a body in it or whether it was just kind of a white, smoky cloud, you know. So I'm just trying to think if there was, we kind of have an insinuation that it was the grandfather because of the clothes.
Yes.
And so there's nothing to say, you know, whether the orbs are that or something, or the apparition is that or something else. You know, I have a feeling because she talked about five generations in this house. Did I get that right? Five generations?
I think so.
And if that's the case, there could be a lot of different spirits in this house. It wouldn't have to just be the grandfather.
But I do think it's really weird to be like, the way she was describing it was so, you know, she saw what she saw. And then it's like, was it this pair of pants?
Yeah.
That would kind of freak me out. I'd be like, as a matter of fact, where those pants? Are those your pants? And why do you have those pants?
Crazy.
Well, let's do one more quick story. And this says, I've always known I was sensitive to things most people can't see. My mom says it runs in her family, something that's passed down. I used to think she was just being weird, but then I remembered the man in the overalls. I was just a baby when it happened, maybe two, which is so weird. I don't remember anything from that age.
I don't either.
Some people, like I was talking to somebody recently and they're like, told me they basically remember being like in diapers. And I'm like, no, you're just making that shit up. Because I really don't have any memories much before I was six.
I really don't either. Like, I think I blacked out everything like 15 or 18 and
well, there's different blackouts, but
yeah that's true, but
nothing like I don't remember anything. I there's a couple of flashes of things that I remember, but anyway mm-hmm. but this is weird.
Okay,
so it says, my parents had just moved us from the States up to Ontario, and for a little while we were staying with my grandparents. Their house was old and creaky, kind of charming in that been here forever kind of way. We were all crammed in, so I slept in a crib in the upstairs room while the rest of the family hung out downstairs. It was late one night. Everyone was downstairs watching TV. According to my mom, it had been a long day and they were relaxing, probably half asleep on the couch. But something woke me up, not a sound, something else. It was a feeling, or maybe it was the touch that did it. I remember it clear as day even now. I felt a light tap on my forehead, like someone gently waking me up. I opened my eyes and there he was. An older man stood by my crib. He was skinny, with kind eyes and soft, almost see-through glow around him. He wore faded overalls, a baseball cap, and had a single blade of grass sticking out of the side of his mouth. He didn't say anything, just looked at me with this warm, kind of peaceful expression, like he was just checking me. Not scary. I kind of felt like I knew him. I didn't know what to call him, so I yelled out the only thing I could think of, "Farmer, farmer." My mom and grandma heard me yelling. They rushed upstairs. By the time they got there, he was gone. They found me standing up in my crib, wide-eyed, pointing at nothing. Of course, they didn't see anything. They calmed me down and eventually got me back to sleep. I'm sure they chalked it up to my imagination. Years went by. We moved into our own place and life got busy. I still had weird little moments like knowing who was on the phone before it rang or dreaming about people I hadn't seen in years the night before they passed, but nothing ever quite like that first visit. Then a few months ago, my grandma was cleaning out her basement and found some old scrapbooks from when my mom was little. We were flipping through the pages together, her old pictures and birthday cards, and then I turned a page and I froze because there he was, the same overalls, same cap, same quiet smile, even the same blade of grass in his mouth. I pointed at the picture without saying a word. My grandma looked over and smiled. "Oh, that's my grandfather," she said. "He lived in this house back when I was a kid. Used to farm all that land behind the house. He got real sick near the end. He refused to go to the hospital. Said if he was going to die, he'd rather die in his own bed, and he did." I stared at the photo. That man, her grandfather, was the exact same person I saw when I was a baby. I hadn't seen that picture before in my life, and yet I knew him. My grandma seemed a little spooked, but not surprised. "You know," she said, "your cousin Jenna saw him once, too, years ago. Said he came to her in a dream and told her to stop sneaking out at night." So now we talk about him like he's still around, not in a creepy way, just like he's checking in from time to time, watching over us. I don't think he ever left the house, really. Maybe he's still tending to the land in his own way. Maybe he's just making sure his family is okay. End of story. You know, that is interesting because I can't even tell you how many times I've heard a story like that where someone saw a person, then later looking through an old photo album, it was like, that's the person that I saw. And then it always happens to be like, well, that's great Aunt Thelma or whoever. And, you know, in this house, it was her great, great grandfather.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's been that, like, somebody's walked into a house and they see an old picture hanging on the wall and they go, oh, wait a minute, that's that person, you know, that I saw when I was a kid or something. But I do have to tell you, it does make your heart stop when that happens.
Oh my God, yes.
You know, because a while back, I talked about this in an episode, but I had a dream and this person showed up in my dream and it was somebody I would say was maybe, you know, late 60s, 70, early 70s, something like that. And he, you know, got into my house. This is a whole big dream. I won't go into the whole thing. But I was just like, so, you know, kept telling him I wasn't going to talk to him or something. And anyway, like then, like a day or two later, I'm scrolling through my Facebook feed and there was an obituary and a picture of this man that had come to me in this dream a couple nights before. And I was like, that's him. That's the man. And then I went on to read who it was. And it was somebody that, yes, I had known, but I hadn't seen him for 20, 25 years.
Right. So he had changed, you
know,
a lot.
So he had changed enough. He was older enough that, you know, I didn't recognize him in my dream. But the point is that, you know, I saw his picture. And I'm like, that is that man. And it's the same thing here. It's like, that was the man that I saw.
And it was so profound that he or she, I'm not sure, I don't know who wrote that in, but remembered that from number one at such a young age. But it was so profound that that stuck with her or him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like in the weird, like the blade of grass sticking out of the mouth and then seeing a picture with a blade of grass sticking out of his mouth.
But I did have to laugh when he came to Jenna and said, quit sneaking out at
night. I know. Telling you, if I had that happen, I would never be sneaking out again. I'm like, God, the ghosts know what I'm doing.
Not only that, but like, what is a ghost capable of? You know, like, am I going to be haunted for, you know, ever or what?
How does he deal with this if I keep sneaking out?
Yeah, if I keep doing it, does he keep showing up? Do I keep, like,
Okay.
Poltergeist activity, what?
You know, and I'm, you know, maybe you could make a deal with him. Like, okay, if I only sneak out like once a month, would that be okay? Or, you know, like, but no, I thought that was hilarious that he was being the voice of conscience here to conscience to tell everybody how to behave.
Well, and it's funny. It's like, I see what you're doing.
Do we get a lot of ghosts telling us how to behave?
Not really.
I don't think so either.
Because it's interesting. It's like the first story about Nona. And then the next story about the grandfather, mm-hmm. and but how they're still influencing the families, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't planning on those stories being together today, but
I think that grandparents, well, I shouldn't say all grandparents, but there are a lot of very strong, you know, personalities in our grandparents who, you know, have gone on and, you know, we're really important in our families. Like our grandmother was just the backbone of our family. And when she died, it's just kind of all fallen apart. Like I don't know where my cousins are or whatever. You know, I mean, I don't really keep up with too many of them. But if grandma was still here,
do we really want to?
But, you know, here's the thing. But if grandma was here, I would, because you know why? Grandma would expect me to show up at that family reunion. And
yes.
I would do it for her.
Yes.
Right? I wouldn't do it for anybody else, but I would show up for grandma. And so I think that's kind of, it kind of makes sense that that just wouldn't go away a lot of times. That they're so strong. And even if they're not showing up as ghosts, they're still present in my life. You know, I still, my grandmother has taught me so many things. And, you know, there's not a day that doesn't go by that I'm not crocheting or I'm not gardening or I'm not doing something that's making me think of her, you know, when I'm doing it. And, you know, it is sort of like she's still there with me, you know.
At the end, she says, "So now we talk about him like he's still around." I kind of like that idea. Because he kind of is, you know?
Yeah.
So why not
include
him?
And maybe even if we don't get them as apparitions or whatever, maybe they kind of still are here.
Well, I mean, in that first story, Nona's rearranging the damn furniture because she doesn't like the way they put the chairs out. So yeah. I think it's interesting.
But I'm wondering if even, you know, to an extent, if we're not having anything, how do we know they're still not there checking in, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. doing things behind the scenes?
Obviously, these stories, they are definitely still hanging out.
They are, yeah. Well,
so if you have a real ghost story and you would like to share it with us, please do that. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, you can certainly do that. No commercials. You get advanced episodes and access to the archive. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.